The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, I wish that Jesus had been at my wedding. I mean, don't you? How fun would it have been to not have to worry about how the night would go at all, but to take comfort in the presence of one who could make certain the party continued until the very last guest was ready to leave. One who could turn water into wine. Yes, I wish that Jesus had been at my wedding, and I guess a little bit of me will keep wishing that Jesus is at every future party that I throw. I love the humanity of this tried and true classic story from Scripture. I mean, so many, many people know this story. Believers and non-believers alike know about Jesus turning water into wine. I mean, a wedding party runs out of wine, and the most religious guy at the party, this Jesus, turns water into wine. And people respond, "I didn't know Jesus could be so cool." Let's pause with each person in this story this morning so that we can see the fullness of the humanity, their humanity, revealed. I mean, we've all been in the position of the host, right? We've all wondered, "Oh dear, did I buy enough wine, enough food? Will it last?" Some of us have even been caught nervously eyeing the amounts guests are consuming, wishing they wouldn't fill their glasses or their plates quite so full. Concerned, we wonder, will there be enough for everyone? And as the guests, we're always trying to conscientiously walk that line between having too much and having too little. We don't want to be labeled as lushes, but at the same time, we don't want to be labeled as prudes, and we don't want to offend by having too little, and we don't want to overstep by taking too much. And what about our special guests this morning? God, as in Jesus, and the mother of God, as in Mary, at this wedding. I have often thought this story so fitting in its revelation of the humanity of both of them. I can just imagine the conversation between them about attending the wedding in the first place. Jesus says, "Oh, do we have to go?" And Mary says, "Absolutely, you know they will be expecting you to be there." And Jesus says, "But I have more important things to be doing, Mother." And Mary says, "It's just one night. It won't take long, I promise. And the wedding party was even kind enough to invite all of your new friends, just so you would feel comfortable coming too. You must be there. And so off they went. We all know how hard it is to argue with a mother and to win. And it was even tough for Jesus, Son of God or not, where the exciting twist in our story is still yet to come. Embarrassingly, shockingly, the wedding hosts run out of wine. And it will be Mary who will decide that it's time for Jesus to perform his very first miracle ever. Stop for a moment, dear friends, and think of just how edgy this is. Mary suggests Jesus' first miracle ever. And what is it for? To turn water into wine so that those gathered can party on. Perhaps Mary felt guilty that the host had had to invite not only her and Joseph and Jesus and all the other family members, but also all of Jesus' ragtag disciples, fishermen from other villages with no notoriety and knowing no one at the wedding feast. Perhaps those extra 12 guests made the big difference between more than enough and completely gone. Whatever the reason, it is indeed Mary who initiates this first miracle, and Jesus' response is to be a little bit more than reluctant. Jesus calls his mother woman and asks what concern the lack of wine is to him, or to her for that matter. And since we like to smooth things over, because this story is from the Bible after all, it's about Jesus, and it couldn't possibly have been that Jesus was being a little rude to dear old mom, right? But truthfully, if we look at the story with rose-colored glasses off, it certainly seems like a response that would get most mothers fuming a little bit if their child addressed them in such a manner. I mean, Mary is likely thinking, you know, I didn't have to put up with a teenage pregnancy without a clear father in the picture, losing you at the temple constantly because you're always wandering off and teaching, and dealing with everyone in town thinking that you're a lunatic and constantly defending your actions to the local rabbi and to our neighbors. I didn't do that so you could respond to me, woman. My time has not yet come. This passage is a little vague on what happens next, but clearly Mary was confident in her motherly response of whatever she said to him or ignoring him completely. She goes right ahead and tells the stewards to pay attention to what Jesus tells them to do whatever Jesus commands them. She has no doubt that a miracle is coming, regardless of the tone of her son's response. The very first one, mind you, at her suggestion. This is indeed Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John, but it will not be his last. In fact, his last will be quite a bit different than this one, born out of a dire need as well, but not a need for an enhancement to a party or a celebration. Instead, a dire need for a reason to party or to celebrate at all. At the end of his ministry, as his last miracle in the Gospel of John, Jesus will raise Lazarus from the dead, bringing him back to his mourning sisters, Martha and Mary. A much more serious and somber thing. But perhaps Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John lends some profound insight into what kind of a raising this might be, into what kind of a new life we are promised. And in addition to thanking Jesus for this, perhaps we have Mary to thank as well. Lazarus won't be raised so that he can live his life as though he were still dead. And you and I don't live that way in order to do that either. No, indeed. mean, it's no coincidence that our story takes place at a wedding. I mean, weddings are the party of all parties, right? They are never about almost enough. They're always about an abundance. The best weddings I've been to included food galore, drinks overflowing, an awesome DJ, and dancing that lasted far into the night. Our God of life calls us to the wedding feast, to the great banquet to end all banquets, to the party that never ends. Now that's a lot of beautiful and flowery, sort of churchy language, fun to listen to, but what does it really mean? And similarly, it's been fun to look at the humanity of these folks in our story, the host, the everyday guests, Jesus, Mary, and the disciples. But what is the point in all of this? The point, my fellow human beings, is this. Jesus, with his first miracle, reveals a million and one wonderful things about our life together. He reveals the importance of listening to your mother, and sometimes admitting you were wrong. She may be right after all. He reveals the joy of the camaraderie of good friends, new and old. He reveals that ordinary things like water and wine can be full of mystery and divinity. He reveals that none of us should be ashamed to enjoy, to imbibe, to get down. So I send you this morning out from this place to continue to do your job of being Christ's disciples, reminded that this job should not be one that is dreary, cold, depleted, or moralistic, but rather that this job is truly the dream job. This job never divorces us or others from our humanity, but rather this job helps us to live into our humanity always. It is a constant party that never ends. Or as Jesus would say, bring on the wine. Amen.